How many out there are interested is difficult to say. But if they're of us, they're curious, and they will be interested to hear that. So I want to go on record right now as saying that very, very often anymore, I am putting less and less in the paper, and I defy anybody reading it to know the difference. And that's when we've arrived, when the receivers are such that the topics and the subject is covered and nobody out there even knows who put it in there. Then we get rid of that Dharma garbage. And I am so grateful for that. You should be so permanently proud, and I'm going to use the word pride, in your paper. You've picked up and you've carried through, and you've even developed books out of your subjects, and the rewards will come. I absolutely guarantee it. The rewards are on their way. And for you to have filled in, and the compliments that come in about the news desk and so forth are just thrilling to me, because we don't have to spend any more time attending that. It's just good. And I thank you. I humbly thank you for that. Now, Nora, go on.
You said that a little gingerly. My opinion. I've been reading about Father God Bel and learned that the Babylonians called him Enlil, En meaning Lord, the feminine of which is Nin. Apparently there was also a Ninlil, or mother of the gods, who accompanied Enlil in Babylon. Will you tell us about Ninlil and who she was and who she is today and where she is today? Is that another no?
You'll find men under looking in Nineveh. I can't answer that. Do you know what? I can't answer it. I'm embarrassed to say that. But every time man tries to put down historical records, it comes out like this. Each does the very best they can, and if it remotely resembles anything factual, it is an accident. And in interpretation and translation, everything gets changed. So my only interest in the subject at all, and this is Nora's expertise, is in research and looking at these historical items. I have no interest in it because I know that basically there is only one energy form, only one mind. And whatever you have going in this world of physical experience cannot be real. So I could only explain to you the interpretation of some person. And I can't do that because there are too many people involved. Only they can tell you what that means, because it has no meaning to me. And I'm sorry. I do apologize. I could probably dig that up. But I wonder if it's worth the time. You see, I'd far rather speak about what is, and what we have to realize as far as our own lineage down through the generations of what we perceive as time spent in a physical form. It's far more important that you take terms like people or human and look at those very carefully rather than putting labels onto something. Because what you're going to find is that even in the translated versions of any language, you will find something that means people, or it means human, or it stands for something else. And what none of you seem to understand correctly is that during the period of time in creation, if you will, or after creation, if you rather, the first people to be recognized are the ancient brotherhood. The ancients, you would call them now Indians, which is a misstatement. God called them people. I don't know about all the rest of you, but God called these first human people. And if you stick around this valley long enough to do a little bit of research, you're going to find that in this valley was where people began. Well, now the Shoshone somewhere else may take exception to that. I'm not talking about human. I'm talking about people, which is the human experience. So God created whatever he wanted to create, and those ancient beings that came to your place first will also be here last. And through their own oral tradition, because as they would come into a new creation, they only had their mind through which to extend knowledge. And then over a period of many, many eons comes the myth. But the myth usually reflects something of the truth, of the status of the beings represented at any given period of time. So I don't like to myself get tangled up because I really don't know what I'm talking about, and that is always embarrassing to me. I have to admit it.
I'm sorry.
You know, perfection is a heavy burden. But you know more about it than I do.
Well, you kind of discourage me from doing research. I mean, it looks like anything that's there is not going to be correct. Anyway.
Well, I think that it matters greatly. And I think we should have a report on it. I'm sure that it is interesting. I don't mean to act as if these things are not important or interesting, because they are. They are. But today, I must focus on something else. And today, my heaviest load is in what do we do to bring the people back.
Yes, thank you.
Does anyone else dare question me? Uh-oh. There's another one.
It was an interesting past week. Friday night I got to spend a few hours with David Icke again, one of his seminar presentations. And finally we got him on film in one of our soon-to-be syndicated shows, we hope. And he just did a marvelous job of various issues. But at that Friday night, I think someone at the program mentioned that Kissinger is going to be talking at USC next Wednesday. So that kind of being coming in to teach and be with our children, and I wonder, maybe I should do something. Well, I can't really just sit there and stack up a bunch of Xerox pages of who and what he really is and the truth. Or maybe I could do that. Or maybe I should go and just meet who I meet, and maybe 5 or 10 people, at least the children there, can have a source of some truth.
Well, I think you should experience it if you have an opportunity. These men are not just clever and shrewd. Most of what they say is totally truthful, insightful. Just because they say it doesn't mean they practice it. So you have to watch what actually they do. Well, I doubt that Mr. Kissinger would come to the podium and lay down and kick his feet like a screaming, tantrumed child. But he is capable of doing exactly that and has done it. If someone sat in his chair, because he's always late for his meetings. And when he came into one, here sits someone in his chair who had just perched there for a moment to talk to the person at the head of the table. He slammed himself down on the floor and refused to go on with the meeting until that person vacated his chair and then help him up. I would have stopped him, but, you know, pecking order. But oftentimes you can find out what they've been doing down in Texas just by listening to what Mr. Kissinger says while he's teaching the youth. This Dr. Kissinger, he doesn't hold a doctorate in anything. Nothing. Zip. And so how does one get to be Dr. Kissinger? Oh, through honorary degrees. He is just so well known that they just keep putting those things around his neck, those black robes. Always, every opportunity, hear these people, see these people, look at these people. It's interesting to really look at these robots, these clones. These are old men now. How do they keep getting around? Well, they don't. Listen to what they say, and you'll notice the big voids as they avoid the topics. And if you knew the questions to fire off, you know. Where were you in 1972 at the time of Nelson Rockefeller's death? Where did you and Nancy go after the funeral? He would go ape and berserk on you. He left the funeral after giving a eulogy, and he went out with his wife and had a mid-air collision in which they were killed. Only it happened too soon. They had not downloaded his double. And they didn't ever have time to download properly her. So she has never had another prominent role. Once in a while, they will let her participate in something, but she blows it every time. She does not have a contiguous history from which to speak. So she's pretty much an ornament. They worked him over pretty well, and they were able to download enough information into his double to make do. And now there is enough history gained along the way to be able to further that. But the Rockefellers are duplicates also. So enjoy every opportunity you can have to witness these beings. And if you have more than one encounter with them, pay close attention from the first time to the next time that you encounter them. And you're going to find them sometimes very diplomatic and extremely gracious, and you will think, oh, man, this other stuff has to be lies. These are the nicest people I ever met. And they are. Don't for a minute believe otherwise. And Barbara Bush is an absolutely beautiful lady. Witty. Strong. She just doesn't know what's going on, does she? Or does she? You live in this world. Experience this world. Always take every opportunity to participate. You don't have to bop them over the head. They'll tell you more if you're nice to them.
I also wanted to thank you and the host recently. As if good fortune's not enough, I get two rear-end collisions all within 30 days. So now I get some treatment, and what was interesting is the medical doctor I went back to has Royal Rife frequency machine.
I bet that's a secret.
That was, we don't talk about that, but she knew all about that issue and what a blessing that was. Meanwhile, very close in a certain sense to John Denver. He came to visit Baba and shared a lot of things then. I was just curious why and what, for what reason they had to take him out.
John Denver has been one of the more genuine of the wildlife. It reminds me a little bit of Audrey protecting these little creatures. John Denver was extremely popular, and when they did the Colorado Windstar project, he was very, very active. Very, very active. And it was just getting a little bit out of control. As his popularity grew, his career did not grow proportion to how well he was received. This man was genuine, but this man cost the big boys billions and billions of dollars through his struggle for the little creatures. You see, it wasn't just a matter with John Denver of going and for the betterment of the elite pocketbook to try to shut down a forest or clean up water or allow a little creature to survive. He meant it. He meant it. He wanted the waters clean so he could take his grandchildren fishing. He felt God had given us a wonderful, great gift that we were destroying. And recently he was personally responsible for doing in one of their biggest money-making projects. And it was time to get rid of him. And he was going to be working with us. And that is a death sentence usually. So you ask, I have to tell you, and I have to tell you truth about it. You're in a dangerous, dangerous position. Hold to the light. Stay within it. Don't think, oh, well, nothing's going to touch me because I prayed yesterday and God will give me light. No. It's constant. And you will say, well, but we're not doing anything to anyone, aren't you? What have we been sitting up here talking about? And we're going to do it without overthrowing anything. We're not going to shoot anybody. Anybody working with me is in the most dangerous, precarious position of anybody on the globe. Good is adverse to evil. And they had to get rid of him. He was going to work with us. He was going to do our motion picture. And that is heartbreaking to me, that we would ever be a reason that it's time to get rid of somebody, especially somebody decent and good. Be careful. Pay attention. Always be careful. But don't fear to go among them. You may give them a lot of indigestion. As long as you hold the truth, they're going to get out of your space pretty quick. And you see, it's a little bit more difficult to protect someone when they're off playing. But he made some errors. He could not believe that anybody would ever want to do anything to him. But they did. And he told everybody he was going out there to run through this plane that he had just purchased. It isn't like he had not flown one before. He's been out here, for goodness sakes. All they had to do was just sabotage the plane. And right on schedule, he took off and crashed. Only it blew up before it crashed. And there are witnesses. It will come out. It's already, I think, probably come out if you've been reading.
When is it heard of people that saw
previously you'd mentioned that Diana and Dodi were working with us on some, with you on some projects.
Well, I don't mean necessarily with us here, but you see what Diana was doing was to get at ones in the Windsor household. She was doing a lot of volunteer charity work in the very fields of killing that the very House of Windsor had created. And when you have someone that close, we're going to get rid of the landmines. Well, who put the landmines there? So you are calling attention, you see, to something that anyone in their right mind would be trying to clean up. So these projects basically became cleanup projects of the good people. But Prince Philip, of all ones, over in Africa, established another corporation that we probably ought to incorporate because they don't bother. They just set their little genociding procedures down, call them corporations, and then, you know, go their own corrupt way. This one is Transparency International. Now, what in the world would that be? Well, it is to look and stop corruption in these countries. Well, my goodness, this just ensures their capability of furthering the corruption. And Diana began to know these things. And she began to talk. They had to get rid of her, too. It was bigger than just being with an Arab, which was already unacceptable. And this particular Arab family is not appreciated. They had to get rid of them. The intent was to make sure, though, that Dodi was the one taken out. And then the orders came not to let her walk away from there. You see, they were not traveling at 120 miles an hour. There is nothing about the story that they have told you so far that is true. Nothing. So you're having an attack on people who are environmentally good people, because these are the very people that later could make a great difference. And they couldn't give that lady a chance to make a great difference. And if they thought about it very carefully, she would not have made any difference at all. She would have retired to her castle in California with Dodi, and they would have spent their life doing nothing.
Last time you mentioned that J.C. Joseph was sophisticated, and as it turned out, working with that individual, who, like you said, was probably working in the background, say, I could circumvent us all. Other issues kind of set the various egos apart there. I wonder if he has any value to what we're doing at all, or what do you see there? And then I'm done. Thank you.
What does he tell you, or does he even contact you?
Me personally, no.
Well, that tells it. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to do it. And some others are already doing that. And this is the first thing that you need to know, that these great programs, these great rollover trading programs, etc., are absolutely farces. You can't take money and roll it 300%, 1,200%, and it be a legitimate deal. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but we just experienced on Friday a person, and this one never even said what all this program was about. But let me tell you how controlled you are. This person was expecting and did, in fact, have a bank in London transfer, now get this, suck in your breath, $500 million into the Bank of America in New York. And the Bank of America in New York did not even call him. They sent it back. Now, adding to the cost of the funding, $70,000 without even any notification. If they don't want you to have it, you won't get it. Now, what am I telling you this for? I'm telling you this because you better, as you begin to receive, keep it offshore if you can. Bring it onshore in increments that are acceptable. Scatter it out. Have a reason for bringing it. And then it can flow. But you see, the original funds came from pension programs, which have been raided continually by the corruptors. And if everything doesn't check out along the way, they just follow the instructions. Send it back. We're not going to deal with it. Now, JC had a different approach, but no different than many others. You can utilize collateral. And who needs collateral? Well, the banks need collateral, but if they've got it in there, they're subject to a lot of scrutiny. So if you can arrange to have insurance companies, Lloyd's of London, let's say, have this collateral, they don't have the same kind of scrutiny. But they do have basically the same kind of a loaning operation. JC knew and probably still knows the very ones that can do that. But I'm also going to tell you that once they know how they do it, they don't even need the damn documents. And why cut you in?